Tough times.
Tough times.
For apples?
For apples, for eaters of apples, for enjoyers of apples. The whole of the Apple ecosystem.
It's fucked.
It's fucked. It's down only.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
I was trying so hard during that, I think it's 15 seconds, that intro. I was trying very, very hard to come up with an Apple-based Game of Nodes joke, but all I could think of was Royal Gala. That was all I could think of, and it doesn't help with any rhymes.
No puns.
There's no pun in Royal Gala. You know what's a good apple? since apparently this is where we've gone. Have you ever had a russet?
I think so.
A russet apple?
A russet apple. It's almost so sweet that it's unbearable. It's like really overwhelming. If you have some apple juice, you have to like properly dilute. You have to literally dilute it with water.
I think we have those.
I've never had that. I had a russet potato, but not an apple. Envy apples are the best.
What's that?
I will die on that hill.
What apples?
Envy apples. Envy. Oh. Like, not jealousy, but envy.
Oh, like the Japanese post-rock band.
100%. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah,
I don't know what that apple is. I only know
I've never heard of that either.
English apples.
So they're really rare. They are a merging of a pear and an apple, if I remember correctly, from like New Zealand.
Not actually an apple, then. They're
that's not an apple. That's a papple.
There's a quince, isn't it?
Is that
I don't know. It's mostly an apple. It's like there's a little bit of pear aspect to it.
Hang on a second.
So like, if you showed someone, they'd be like, yeah, that's an apple.
The literal definition of a quince, the cross of an apple and a pear.
Yeah, quince apples. Let's take a look. I think you're right.
Yeah. Similar in appearance to a pear, but not. Oh, no. I think it might be a literally different thing.
I guess it's not a cross. It's just a different thing.
No, it's just a different thing. Just looks like a cross between an apple and a pear, but it's actually totally different.
I don't know what the hell. I've never heard of an envy apple before.
What the heck?
Is this like created in a lab or something?
I'm not really sure, but you only can get them like 1 month out of the year. And then that's a glorious month, let me tell you.
Wait, envy's a brand. It's not a type.
Ah, it's a brand. I think that's kind of apple.
I think it's, I don't know. Every apple picture is fucking perfect though.
Yeah.
Here we go. There's two dudes. Yeah, there's apple dudes.
I can't remember which counties it is. I want to say Herefordshire and Gloucestershire. One of them is like apple country and one of them is pear country, both of which you can make hard cider from, an important side fact here.
So Envy, TM, like boost drop, was born using natural plant breeding methods, plants having sex, crossing between a Braeburn with Royal Gala apples.
There you go. We're back.
Royal Gala, we're right back to where we started.
So yeah, I must have caught the emanations in the atmosphere that Schultzy was also thinking of Royal Galas.
The result is a pure bliss, heightened enjoyment that is up only like no other.
It's true. That's right.
I might have added something.
Wait, it was a Royal Gala and a
Braeburn. B-R-A-E-B-U-R-N.
Braeburn.
Braeburn apples I've had, yeah.
Braeburns, you're standard at the coalface. I mean, I know they're like a New Zealand apple, but they're very, that's an at the coalface apple.
There's a lot of good apples.
You ever had a Cox apple? Love a bit of Cox?
No.
Cox on your lunch break?
I don't think so.
No? It's a great apple. Like, best apples of all time, number one is the Cox. Just very small, though. They're really small. Small little guys.
Really small Cox?
Really small Cox. Only winter, though, you know, so it's a cold day.
It's kind of cold out.
They're very crisp, very tart.
Anytime I hear someone English say very small, I instantly go to very small rocks. What else floats in water? Bread. Apples.
That's very small rocks.
So as soon as you say very small, I instantly go to.
That's
you didn't get that reference, did you?
School.
Did you get that reference or no?
What?
Oh, they do. Did you get that reference?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. You're forced to watch it in school.
They don't actually show it you in school, but it's kind of.
I got my PhD in the Holy Grail.
I mean, I assume it's mainstream enough in the States that I guess if you quote it, people will pick up on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's Monty Python. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, my age, yeah.
Yeah. These Zoomers and below, who knows what comedy they're listening to? No Monty Python on TikTok, except for Monty Python on TikTok. Anyway.
Did you want to do the intro? The
actual intro? Apple Chat. Welcome to Game of Nodes.
All right, there we go.
Do we actually even add anything after that anymore?
That's it. Yeah.
The podcast. From, you know, independent validator teams. Welcome to the show. So what's been happening this week, lads?
Testnets. Some launching this week.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, a couple things.
Oh, it's been fun. So we talked about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple testnets, which I don't know if we can talk about actually. So maybe we'll just not talk about it. Testnets are always fun. Like I like new things. some of these are very I like new things.
I just like new things.
There's some, yeah, sometimes I just like new things.
I suppose it's a bit of an affectation, but you know,
new.
You know.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I think it's hot as shit here. It's
is it hot?
I don't know. It's 94, 95 Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is Celsius. It's got to be, what is that, like 32?
It is.
Somewhere in there?
It is summer here. We are 3 days off the solstice, and it is 12 or 13 degrees, I believe. This is a winter jumper.
34. It's 34 and a half here.
34. It is 20 degrees colder where we are.
Yeah. Enjoy your summer. At least you have winter to look forward to.
It has been a bad enough summer so far that it's been in the newspapers. Bear in mind, there's a shambolic general election going on right now, and even then they're like, but wait, the weather has been bad even by our standards. It's news. So yeah, that's what's happening here, as usual. British people talking about the weather.
And how shitty it is. And how shitty. Yeah, it's freaking hot. We've been doing a lot of stuff outside, so it's been miserably hot. And
My heart bleeds for you with that warm weather. Yeah.
It's not warm. It's like, it's shitty. My ears are like sweating inside the headphone cups. Sounds fantastic. Stuff like that. Like this. Yeah.
Sounds great.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Cool. So it's hot on the East Coast.
Testnets.
Hot. Hot.
What?
Testnets are hot. The weather's hot. What's right. The what's it? Warm out yesterday, warm out today, warm out tomorrow.
That's basically what it is.
I can't even remember. I think that's The Simpsons. Is either Simpsons or Deliverance?
I think it's The Simpsons.
Gotta be The Simpsons, hasn't it? It's a little bit like that other, what's the other really good Simpsons one with the Cayman Islands? Oh crap. I definitely shouldn't have told them about that client's secret account. No crap. I definitely shouldn't have said it was illegal.
I don't even remember that.
Just so hot outside.
So hot.
I think it's the Krusty the Clown when he gets busted for tax evasion. And basically they call up his crooked accountant in the Cayman Islands. He just goes, I'm terribly sorry. I'm not at liberty to divulge information on my client's very secret illegal account. And then hangs up the phone and then just has that triple take where he realizes he's revealed everything, and then he just sinks into his chair and wafts himself with a fan. It's
shit.
Primo Cosmos memeage, really.
Mm-hmm.
We just heard about that event as well at Korean Blockchain Week, which I didn't realize was, I mean, because I live under a rock, is a thing. Fancy trip to Korea?
When is that? Is that coming up?
No idea. September? Something like that.
I do need to figure out what we're doing for the rest of this year. There's a couple shows. There's a couple shows I'd like to go to, but I just don't know if it makes sense or not.
Oh, yeah? So
we'll see.
Stateside?
Yeah. Permissionless is stateside. That looks pretty interesting, actually.
Where's that?
Is it back in Denver? Why do I think it's in Denver?
Why break a formula that works?
I think it is back in Denver. Please be somewhere else. No, it's in Salt Lake. I like Salt Lake. It's in Salt Lake City. It's in Utah. That might be interesting. That's October. And then SmartCon, we've gone to the last few years. This year, last 2 years ago, it was in New York, and then last year it was in Barcelona, which you came down to. And then this year, it's in Hong Kong. And I think that might be just a little bit too far to make the trip for that trip.
Also, for that you show. Don't want to necessarily be in Hong Kong if there's a little bit of, you know, maybe them getting like finally invaded for good.
Yeah. What are the chances on the weekend that I'm there? It's pretty low.
That's exactly what everybody says just before they end up.
I was just here for the weekend.
Yeah. Just before they end up, you know, when there's like a
when
like
they're interviewed at the airport. Disaster, yeah. When they're interviewed at the airport.
The film crew is like, sir, who are you? What's happening? You're just like, Jesus Christ, I'm just here for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when they're
tourists fleeing the scene.
When they're interviewed at the airport behind a sea of no planes on the tarmac. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. You
don't want to. And the one I really want to go to is Token, which is in Singapore in the middle of September. It's just really bad timing, but.
Oh, Token 2049?
Yeah. Yeah.
I should have gone to they did one in London last year, and I should have gone to it, but I ummed and ahed about the ticket was quite reasonable to start off with, but it's very expensive if you got it late. And yeah. I was just like, I don't know if I can hack it or if I'm gonna get the value out of it, so I'll just decide later. And it literally doubled in price. I was like, fuck, well, I'm not fucking paying that now.
That's
because
right.
It's back to John, back to Artifact's point and whatnot about, like, if you're going to go to these conferences, you have to A, go kind of all in, and B, you need to get, like, you can't just get the basic tier if you're trying to actually talk to like the foundations or whatever. You may as well go for one of the more expensive ones where you get some extra access. Yeah. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But by the time it's $1,000 of marketing expense, you're like, it's already painful.
Yeah, and here it's especially like the early bird is still up for $500, and then it goes to $1,300. To your point, that's a regular one, and the special access is $5,000. So
$5,000,
jeez. It's $5,000. Okay. So it's a 10x. It's a 10x between those two. So, I mean, you get breakfast and lunch and shit like that, but still, you get connection with speakers and VIP guests, and there's a separate concierge, and you get access to the speaker lounge, and like if you can make the right connections, and you know, if it's worth it from that perspective, then it might be. It just depends on how you use it. I think
you might have to be better at networking than I am to make that fully worthwhile.
And plus, I mean, how many of those? It's in one show is not really enough. So you have to do that, like, you know, you do that a dozen times and you come out with something that's significant. But you might shoot some blanks, as they say. So I would like to get out there. Also, I think the other issue with that is I believe that weekend is also F1 on that same weekend. So, which means every freaking hotel and flight is going to be ridiculous. So I haven't really looked yet, because I know that they're in Singapore that weekend, which also I would love to go to that race. That's a separate thing. So, yeah. But,
I mean, that must be why they've done it, is so that people can expense the trip for the shenanigans. But
sounds like a plan.
Sounds like
a plan. Yeah, so
should have done the last one probably, but you know when you go to, I mean, you know from ETH Denver, I've not even been to ETH Denver, but like I just have this like nightmare of it just being a massive room where every conversation I have, I'm trapped with like that enthusiastic ETH guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how polite I could be for that long. Like I know like I'm British, so I can just say sorry over and over to tell people to fuck off while, you know, ostensibly maintaining a veneer of politeness to their face. But it's demoralizing after a while when you're just like I'm Sideshow Bob walking into a rake, you know, over and over, except every one of these rakes is a boring crypto guy.
just over and over. Just got to replace that with restaking.
Liquid staking. People are like, you know what? Actually, recently, I've gone to a couple of things, and it's been like zero knowledge.
Yeah.
And
I've heard of it.
There was at least one where there was a group of people going to, they were like, oh, we're going to implement this zero knowledge thing on Ethereum. And it was like, oh, cool. And I was like, whoa, who are you guys working with? Because I like vaguely had, you know, know some of the people through other people. And I was like, they don't have any cryptographers. They don't. have any engineers that understand crypto. They're talking about zero knowledge, right? Okay, we're beginning to verge onto like paying real cryptographers real money to do stuff. Okay. And they're like, yeah, we got a white paper. We got a white paper and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, cool. And then, yeah, like, you know, whatever. Didn't think any more of it. Talked to some other people. Plenty of other fine people. No worries. Finally got around to reading the white paper after I got back chez moi, as the French say, a little while later. And it literally had a section where, shit you not, where it just had a page and it had literally kind of like a Wikipedia level description of ring signatures, zero knowledge proofs, and blind signatures. And it just moved on to the next page and started talking about tokenomics. And you're like, whoa, lads, you cannot just TBC.
Step three, zero question mark.
In your implementation. Yeah, it's just step like question profit. Mark. Profit. Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh gosh.
Step one, launch blockchain. Step two, implement zero knowledge. Step three, question mark.
Step four.
I was like, yeah, it's one of those things that like there are actual cryptographers in a computer science department, and you talk to them about this stuff and they're like, that would require some thought and some serious work. You know, when you ask them about these kind of questions, you're like, hey, how hard is? And they're like, how's your maths? And you're like, I stopped doing maths when I was 16. And they're like,
fuck.
Yes, you probably want to leave this to the adults then. And you're like, oh, it is true though. I should leave it to the adults. And then you get these Yahoos who are just like TBC, zero knowledge proofs, a novel implementation. A novel implementation, the three worst words in the English language when combined with cryptography, right? But anyway.
Following up on I was listening, well, two things. One, I was listening to our show a couple of weeks ago with the three of us when we were talking about coming back from Consensus and like one of the themes being restaking. And I think some of the, because we were talking about that, I think when we came back. And that story reminds me, because I think we had a bunch of those questions and people were so like ridiculously excited about restaking and ABSs. And I'm like, yeah, we've had liquid staking at a bunch of their protocols and it hasn't really done as much as we thought. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, I'm sure it'll be great here in Ethereum though. It'll be awesome. What are you talking about? There's like way more people. Should be fine. It's not going to bring in the next million users. However, just FYI, that is not enough.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do we need another million users?
I don't know.
Maybe. Financially, from a business perspective, we need another.
We need a couple, like maybe 10.
Pretty fucking soon, yeah. I would say.
I
tell you that the bills seem to be staying the same, or you know, they're getting those inflationary yearly up increases, and you're like, cool. Still not making a red cent in Cosmos. So,
bills are going up.
Yeah,
hardware's getting tight too. We're starting to see some constraints on like. There's too many people renting servers right now.
Yeah.
There's
people really want to lose money running validators.
I've been waiting for some stuff in Tokyo for now 8 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. I mean, which
that's
I'm losing my patience with. So
that's not wildly surprising, actually. We try like in the spring, right? When we were trying to get the high performance stuff for that stress network, we waited 4 weeks for a major vendor because they were just like, oh yeah, we're ready to rack these when we receive them. And you're like, right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Cool.
That's great. Yeah,
I figured.
Did figure that, but you did also say, but yeah, I mean.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It's back to everybody who's getting super excited about zero knowledge proofs, right? That hardware ain't a joke.
And you that's think that's driving it? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
What else is it going to?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's, I mean, they rent to a shitload of people. So I don't know if it's just cloud movement and,
possibly.
And that, although I think the services that we use, I don't see enterprises using in any sort of way. Maybe if they like lease space and like, you know, they want to buy, like, I could definitely see somebody saying, hey, we want to buy racks and, you know, 17 year data centers because we, you know, we want this distribution. That makes sense to me. But I just don't see, I don't know, buying one of bare metal machines to me seems like it's either enthusiasts, it's maybe small business doing something with that, which seems weird to me. Crypto, obviously, AI, obviously, like those types of things.
Crypto, obviously.
Like there's a lot of people writing those
I mean, there's a lot of consultancy work where people will depending on the SLA, run it bare metal or run it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a couple of bare metal boxes behind a low
power. Or resell services too. We were talking to somebody at Consensus that runs a pretty large like VPS service for crypto, like where they run like RPCs on VPS for like a whole bunch of L1, L2s. And behind the scenes, they're just renting service from the same shit that we are. You know what I mean? So, and they just take those and basically package them up and then take one bare metal server at $300 a month and turn it into 25 VPSs at $30 a month. You know what I mean? So, woohoo.
I mean, are they making money? Like, if they're making money, we should be moving in that market, right?
I don't know. Maybe they are.
Yeah. Maybe what I mean, we're not selling the shovel. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I'm in the same business. I'm just selling the end product, which is the RPC data on a global scale, but it's almost the same thing. Does. What's that?
I mean, that's also what Akash does, right? That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I guess so. They are cutting. Yeah, I thought they were just reselling VPSs at a higher rate. Just get an Amazon 8 VPS and then just put it on Akash and sell it at a higher number. No, all right.
No. Now, granted, this was years ago. Last I saw, it was most Akash servers were actually at Hetzner, and then they were just basically
shocking, amazing,
yeah,
amazing, unbelievable.
Which technically might be allowed now under Hetzner's revised TOS. So I think we're all good.
Do they have a revised TOS?
Well, they said that they were kind of okay with proof of stake, didn't they?
It's not as cut and dry now.
But before, isn't Solana proof of stake? Is that when they jacked all those people out of there?
They did. The verbiage has changed a little bit, but because Solana is so heavy, they were like, and they can go. But I don't remember the exact verbiage, what it was and what it is now.
It does rip through some NVMEs, that's for sure.
I mean, if Cosmos had more transactions on it, maybe they'd have a problem with you running Cosmos boxes. But I think as it is, they're just like, these suckers are just paying for loads of RAM.
You guys want to
let them do it. We're going to allow it.
You can all these zero transaction blocks, you can buy all the machines that you want.
Although, to be fair, we did send a hard drive and NVMe to the Dark Dimension last week. So
what do you mean?
Well, so as finally promised, we wound down our Mars validator, but not before. Not before. So the context here is like we said we were going to wind down in March, but extended the grace period because people really fucking did not seem to get the message. We posted about it, wrote a blog post.
Nobody's looking at it. They're not looking at it. They're not watching your shit.
Unfortunately,
don't give a fuck.
We are no longer going to pay €250 a month to run Mars. And more operationally, like, what's the fucking point? They're killing the chain. Like, literally, what are we fucking doing here?
That was the one they're converting it into a contract, right? A Neutron. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, who gives a shit? Right.
There's an end point, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. And you're just like, this entire involvement in this project has been a massive waste of time from a Validator perspective. Great. Cheers. Smashed it, lads. So anyway, we'd given an extended grace period, and then it was like, right, well, we're not going to renew the 6-month lease we have on this box. So that was going to come to an end at the end of this month. So we knew we had to like wind down by the end of the month. So just starting to look at that.
Yeah.
And of course, then we had a hard drive fail. So it failed at the absolute best time ever. So twice a day, all of the boxes phone home with like a notification on their current utilization, hard disk space, stuff like that, just to say, hey, still alive. Like outside of the entire monitoring stack, they just push a Discord notification, like a push notification somewhere where we can see it, and just says, hey, I am box X. Here's my identifier. Here's my top line stats. If there's anything to worry about, you know, and this has saved our bacon on a number of occasions when we've seen massive hard drive bloat outside of what our Grafana stack and our alerting stack would catch. This has caught it before because you literally just see twice a day, two notifications from each box with an identifier in a kind of table format. When they all kind of come through at a specific time. And so you literally see twice a day, oh, well, hang on a minute, that's gone up by 4% in a day, right? Okay, we need to go look into that. Or, you know, RAM usage really high or network or whatever it might be, right? But anyway, the hard drive failed, as it turned out, 4 minutes after the daily check in the morning, and then obviously got caught by the one in the afternoon. The monitoring didn't do fucking anything. None of the alerts triggered. It was weird. It was totally bizarre, but it turned out because the drives had failed so completely that the logs weren't being written. They weren't being written to, I'd assumed that they would be like ephemeral, like to RAM and then just shipped immediately. But apparently they are spilled to disk, or at least the way we had it configured. They're being spilled to disk. Nothing was reaching the Grafana server. For some reason, that didn't trip an alert, which is something we've been trying to work out why, because they really should have done. And there's nothing I can see in the alert that. Anyway, that's another story. But crucially, there's also a dead man switch on the box that, for depending on the chain, there's a liveness check every minute that runs. And if something goes wrong,
same.
It hard pushes one notification to the round robin. We have to all company phones, and it also pushes like a pager duty notification. Yeah. So it goes to one, it goes to the other. One of those things will bust through. Even if people's phones are on silent, everything will kick off. That didn't work either. And it turned out that was for some really esoteric reason, which is when the, or at least it seems esoteric, but it seems like the root cause was that the disk that was mounted that had the cron tab on it was the one that failed. And for some reason, when it was trying to access the file, even just to execute it, it was getting a not accessible error, even though you could grep and look inside the contents of the file
from the
file system.
Yeah. When shit fails, it gets all weird.
Yeah, stuff gets real.
There's no logic associated.
It was so weird because you're like, you could SSH into the box fine. You could poke around. You could look at the contents of the cron tab. You could even execute like cron tab E and have a look.
Yeah.
But if you then try to fire the logic implied by the cron tab, it would be like, whoa.
But is the dead man switch on that box, or is it on a third box? That so is phoning
the dead man switch is on every box. And then where we have remote signers, there's a final sense check, but the final sense check is time delayed. It's like 15 minutes. Cause there are situations where a network,
yeah,
might have a slow network or something. You don't want to be like, oh no, fuck, this block hasn't advanced. You'd be like, are you kidding me? Like, this is, especially when Jacob's doing his shenanigans, right? You just get a notification every.
Yeah, we should talk about that too. Yeah.
Every minute.
Yeah.
But so anyway, like, we basically, all of our monitoring stack comprehensively failed, except for the two daily updates, which I still swear by. The second one caught it and just went, it basically, just because it said, here are my stats, dunno, 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 dunno. And you're like, well, that's not good. So yeah, that was all fun and games. Had to recover that onto a new box for all of 5 days before we were decommissioning that server anyway, in order to just issue. And this happened at like 8 or 9 in the evening. So it's after the point where we could go and access company ledger in the bank vault, or the company ledgers. There's one for all these, but it was just at that point you're like, oh, fuck it, let's just unbond it. And then you're like, the ledger's in the bank vault. It's 8 o'clock at night. Can't just spitefully unbond. So it was just a total shambles. Like these guys would just had messages from me being annoyed all night. They're like, I can't believe I've got to fix this. I'm so annoyed about this. I can't believe
not being able to spitefully unbond is like such a fucking like last minute fail check. Like, fuck all this. Oh, I can't even get in there. I can't even do that. Exactly. Such a big issue, isn't it? Fuck.
You're just like
spitefully unbond. Like putting out tweets. Fuck this. Oh, I can't even do this.
Oh yeah. Absolute shambles.
Game of Nodes came together though.
Yeah,
we had nodes up for you. Like, point your shitty signer at this.
If anything, there was too much sympathy. Because,
well, I mean, honestly, you were complaining for like 4 hours, and like, I'm going to bed and this. And I'm like, give me 8 minutes, I'll get you a fucking node. I'm like, give me 4 fucking minutes. And I added up. Like, here it goes.
The other important data point is, after an hour, I had to be in the pub for reasons. And so after diagnosing what it was, I just went to the pub where
as
I was
one, meeting, as one does.
As one does. And the at least one of the guys I was with is an ops engineer and was just, you know, obviously just giving me shit for the next 3 hours.
Yeah.
It was just like I kept having to get my laptop out to basically we needed a server to recover everything onto, so I was waiting for that to be arrived, and the I was kind of hoping that maybe when their technician went to the rack, they were going to be like, "Oh, just turn it on and off again."
You could have stood up a $4 fucking AWS box and like and been done. It doesn't matter. There's no traffic on there. You've done anything?
Yeah, should have done that. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, yeah,
did manage to get hold of a box a couple of hours later. All fun and games. And then spitefully unbonded the day after, so or 2 days after or something like
still
that.
Still got the spitefully unbonded with my new machine.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this is a 1 month rental, motherfuckers. I do not intend to renew it.
Robert asked, "Did Null quit the pod?" You would think so.
Yes,
you would think so. And do we have proof of life since I saw him in Austin? I think we do. Right, we do have proof of life because he did make it back to Australia.
Did he come on the show?
He did not. No, it's been 3 weeks. Yeah. Yep.
It's a poor effort. It's a poor effort.
It's a poor effort. It is. Like, absence, let's call it what it is.
Absence has been noted. Exactly.
It's not looking good for when there's an actual little one in the house.
Yeah.
It's like, I got it.
You know when you fuck up something. Something
pooped. I can't make it.
you know when you fuck up something on a Linux host and it says, or is it when you do incorrect sudo attempts and it goes, somebody has been notified.
You're like, it's me.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, I'm the guy who's been notified. But I feel like that's what Niall's done. It's like an administrator has been notified. It's like, yeah, it's just going to like Etsy, who gives a shit? Like varlib, nobody cares.
He has not quit the podcast. It has been some pretty bad timing overall, both with Consensus. That's the reason both he actually, well, we took a break that week, right? The week after was him coming back, which missed. The week after that was vacation of some sort. And the week after that is another trip. So I told him, like, you can't miss four in a row. If you miss four in a row, you're gone. I'm like, we're replacing you with somebody else. There's lots of Australians that listen to this podcast. We could pick one out of the hat.
Australians are 10 a penny, I hear. There's like 25 million of them.
Yeah. Rama,
you established on deck, episode.
Rama's on deck. You show up at 2100 UTC. That's all.
Yep.
No, he should be back next week.
Yeah, should be back next week. So,
you better, let me rephrase that. I could better be back next week.
Do we? Do we talk? I mean, the last couple of weeks, Jacob's been continuing to annoy chains. Are we going to talk about that?
It is creating some change, though. We've had. There's. My upgrade board is empty, but our hotfix oh shit board is full. So I think, I don't know if it was Neutron halted because of that or that was something else. Do you know, Schultzy? I don't know if that, there was, like, testnet got halted, but I don't know if that was Jacob related. And then I thought mainnet had a patch, but I don't remember.
I mean, there have been a lot of patches that came out, right?
There's a lot of patches that came out.
That was just announced for
Osmosis went this morning. Yep. Stargaze is coming. I'm not sure if Jorge announced it, but we ran that. I think Say made some changes today. But that was really mempool based, but I think somewhat related because they think there's some sort of traffic storm coming, whatever. Roman says just IBC channels. He's not doing that. That's true. He's just flooding IBC channels with transactions. And it is, I mean, that Osmosis patch today helped a lot because we had a shitload of memory issues on Osmosis nodes. Like it was just, they were just sucking RAM down. And same with Cosmos sucking. Hub. They were miserable. Like we have a couple of machines that were like OOMing and stuff like that. That was just stupid. And we don't get a ton of traffic on those either. So I don't know. Yeah. But some change is happening, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Ben Davis in the chat says that Neutron was not Jacob.
Yeah. I didn't think so either. I thought there was a hotfix patch that I think came out in mainnet, but I don't think mainnet halted if I remember. And then testnet definitely halted for a while, but yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Is it valuable? I don't know. It's for you guys to figure out if it's valuable or not.
Million monkeys, million typewriters, right?
I mean, I'm sure this isn't the only issue, but let's just beat this one in the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Let's make a point over and over and over.
I think the point that's being made is I'm so smart. I'm so smart. Doobie-doobie-doo. I'm so smart. Right?
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's I'm so smart. I kind of view it as I found an issue and they're not taking me seriously. This can't be a bigger thing that would halt your money-making machines. So I'm going to do something to prove that it can be done. And instead of doing it on one chain and having it fixed, I'm just going to rotate on every single one and just keep pointing out how right I am. Which, okay, like, is it valid? I mean, yeah, fix it.
I mean, it might get you paid, I guess, which is kind
no,
of
no. I don't think there's any of that though going on, right? Well, there's none of that happening.
I think that presumably is the expectation.
I haven't heard anything like that. But
yeah, but like not in public. But it wouldn't surprise. Well, whatever, you know. Anyway,
what leverage is there? It's just doing this to point the issue out. Teams patch the issue.
Yeah, but you make a lot of noise.
And they move on to the next one.
Look how valuable this was.
Right. Yeah. Sure. And that's ego and wanting to be right and all that kind of good stuff. That's part of that. But it's not like behind the scenes where they're white hatting and like, hey, this is a problem. And so pay me so I can give you this information. But I do think that like this is, how do you collect money after this? You're just fucking pissing people off.
It's awesome business development. Yeah.
I'm going to shit on your chain until you fix it. Now pay me.
That's really what I'm doing with my PhD, to be fair. So, I mean, I've basically written a systematic, not a systematic takedown, but like a pretty, yeah. I think, okay, so obviously just like a massive shit on proof of stake, right? That is one of the things I've done, right? But the thing is, everybody knows proof of stake is fucked. Like everybody who actually seriously works with proof of stake, except people who are delusional, knows proof of stake is kind of fucked and knows that it's incredibly, incredibly dependent on factors that are exogenous to the blockchain itself. And like this is the, yeah. I mean, it's kind of back to like, well, why do I work on digital cash now? Like as a thing that I think blockchains need to work, it's because I have given up on the idea that a blockchain can be walled off from the rest of the world. It can be its own little perfect platonic walled garden and work. That was the dream for Bitcoin. It kind of worked because it was the first for some broken definition of work. And now, you know, all these other chains that are trying to secure value or stable tokens or create economic systems with like a completely everything must be contained within the logic and the protocol and anything outside, you know, you can't endogenously contain all of that stuff and still have it work. It's like, no, some things like there has to be a knowledge of an outside world where there's an economy going on, where there's taxation, where there's work.
I mean,
that's the logic of proof of work, I suppose. So, you know, that's maybe another reason why proof of work kind of still works for some definition of work. But hey, whatever, man, whatever. I was reading the Arbitrum docs the other day to look at where they're up to on their current roadmap for their L2 stuff. And like some of their docs, man, they just say the quiet bit out loud. It's fucking great. They just be like, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, we've all agreed that this just happens off chain and you're like, okay, awesome. So you're exploitable is what you're saying. And they're like, yeah, but you know, for something to get rewritten, you'd need 50% of the validating power. That's like impossible. And you're like, it's not fucking impossible. What's wrong with you people? They're like, we could secure our roll-ups with zero knowledge proofs, but we're going to use optimistic proofs because, you know, it's much easier to have a general purpose smart contract VM that's fully compatible with Solidity. And you're like, oh, cool. Right. So we just got no fucking security. Awesome.
Okay, it's not very cool to be pessimistic. You got to be optimistic these days.
Yeah. There's definitely some bad ideas in that kind of architecture where you're like, hey, shit, I remember this. This is called ICS. Anyway.
I love shitting on proof of stake. It's like so much fun.
Oh, it really warms my heart, which I do need to warm myself because it's fucking freezing in this country right now. Well, it's not freezing, but it's not warm either. So anyway, to continue shitting on proof of stake, Zaki had a great tweet this week. So I was on Cosmos Twitter. Don't at me. Zaki said, if you are a pre-launch Cosmos project, delaying launch to fork or replace the staking module is advised at this point, or launch as a proof of governance / authority and write a staking module later.
Yep. So I saw that as well. What was the basis of that, of that comment?
Like, so what we're going to do here is you get to guess what Zaki's key flaw was that he was identifying. You both get
so he has issues with the staking module, not governance. Governance is fucking perfect.
Replace the staking module and rewrite it after launch. So that's the summary of the. So what were game show music in the background? You've got 20 seconds to decide what you think Zaki identified as the key problems with the staking module as is.
The key problems with the staking module, not native liquid staking.
I'm trying to keep
my close. Face. Is that one of them?
I used to do it, did I?
I can't play that. I play that music,
but then I couldn't keep a neutral fate. Yeah, no built-in liquid staking.
No built-in liquid staking.
I literally saw that. I saw that and I thought of you because I know a man that would
sure tell
that statement.
Yeah. Well, it does seem a little bit ridiculous. So I mean, I don't know if that would be enough to not launch with it. I mean, it seems like I don't know. I'm surprised that the governance module is like totally, hey, it's fucking perfect. Go.
Yeah. So, I mean,
go ahead, dude.
There were another couple of things. I am being a bit of a prick. There are a couple of things. So, he identifies that locked vested tokens can stake and get unlocked rewards. That's definitely a problem for core teams and foundations.
Slow that down. Locked tokens, so that are in a vesting contract, right? Can be staked.
No. So, core vesting, as in the Genesis file, or vesting using the Cosmos SDK.
So meaning that they're locked, an unlock period that's associated to those tokens.
Sure. But you can
those stake can them. Be staked.
Yeah.
So and they can earn rewards on those even though they're locked for X number of
and
years.
And the staking rewards just become available straight away, right?
Oh, so you just make money. So you're it's kind of
like a
dividend.
The thing of when every core team is like, oh yeah, you know, we have 1% of supply, but it's vested. And it's like, well, yeah, but
right. you're dumping it.
You can make it so that it's a huge cliff so that you actually get almost all of it in the first 6 months if you wanted. Also you can just stake it anyway. And then the staking rewards are going to, during that bit where the price is going up just after launch, you can sell them. Right.
And bonuses that they stake it to their own validator too.
Yeah.
Well, or then require the validator teams to not sell their tokens unless they also have some stake. That's also like a big brain move.
You guys are dumping.
It's very good. But it's very important to say that these tokenomics, they're not a Ponzi scheme. They're actually a last sucker. They're a last sucker scheme. Anyway.
The reverse funnel.
All right. So both those are valid. I think the liquid staking thing I agree with. And the that one around vested tokens, I totally agree with. Those are valid concerns, right? Yeah.
So
what's the other one?
So the other one, fixed unbonding period rather than a withdrawal queue. I would also agree with that.
What does that mean? What's a withdrawal queue?
I think it's exactly what it sounds like.
It's like with Ethereum, how as more people try and unbond, it'll take longer and longer to unbond until it gets through the full queue, as opposed to just saying, you hit unbond, you're 3 weeks out.
It's just like a really simple first in, first out to stop a bank run, I guess.
Right. Because only a certain amount can unbond in each epoch, right? Is that what it was, I think? Or like in each time period.
Is it epoch based?
Something like that. Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that. So yeah, you maybe. Can't have not 40% of bonding tokens can unbond all coming due at 30 days, right? Because there has to be only a certain number can be unbonded over a period, right? Something like that.
I think so, yeah.
It's pretty fucking valid. Okay, what else? I like it.
And then the cumulative effect of these is down only token dynamics. That's just a statement that he kind of ended it on.
Well, I mean, honestly, okay. That's, yeah, I mean, well, that, like, that's, I mean, like fish in a barrel, right? Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, you can down only fucking anything. Like, what's the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So to be fair, there are actually a few more things than that. It's a good threat. Like, despite like having introduced it, with a kind of, what's the word? I kind of introduced it very facetiously, but actually it's a good Twitter thread. Zaki makes some good points. I'm just like, yeah, basically.
Roma says, I'm so glad we figured this out 3 to 4 years after the extracted millions. I don't know if you meant to say he extracted millions or the extracted millions, but I think probably both.
I mean, Roma's got accurate. A great lore.
I think he's going for he.
I think they're both accurate.
You don't mean Rama has extracted millions. I said, well, Rama's
Zaki.
Lawn, but I don't know that his lawn cost millions.
No, I mean Zaki. Like, I think, I don't know if he was calling out Zaki specifically for calling that out when he extracted millions. They or them or the with a capital T extracted millions is all valid, I think.
Yeah.
I'm surprised but governance totally works. Like this idea of fucking elected officials, fucking great. Don't worry about that.
It's totally fantastic. that's awesome.
I mean, those are good concerns. So was there a solution in that Twitter thread? Was there like, hey, this is how we're going to fix it?
I assume you don't use the Cosmos SDK as the solution.
None of that's fixable. Well, liquid staking, it could be. I thought, isn't Osmosis doing that in
the protocol? Well, there's that one. There's that general purpose one. There's that design for the hub, which never got used, right?
Everything else, isn't everything else? I mean, the vested token things, that seems like that's totally changeable, right? Like,
yeah,
but that seems to be extremely simple to change.
No, it would require some cunt to understand how the Cosmos SDK works, right? And there's only like 10 people that do, and all of them are paid too much money now to do that stuff because they've got dev teams that sort of do whatever, man. And
that seems a little bit pessimistic.
No, but like genuinely, like the Cosmos SDK is like, so I think I made this joke. I'm not hallucinating this. I think I made this joke on Twitter the other day when I was on Cosmos Twitter, basically trolling for an hour. I was waiting for my coffee to brew and then there was no coffee and I had to go out and get some. And before I went out and got some, I decided to sit down and be salty on Cosmos Twitter for an hour. So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Then I went out and got a coffee and I was like, I shouldn't have been so salty. Anyway, Cosmos SDK used to say, we're the Ruby on Rails to blockchains, right? And the whole fucking thing is that anybody who actually worked with Ruby on Rails could tell you that it was a fucking nightmare beyond a point because you were like, you would look at an application stack and you'd be like, yeah, okay, right. I am a Rails developer. I understand how this works and all of the fucking mad moving parts you have to make to speed up your development experience that actually end up making loads of decisions ahead of time for you. You spend all your time unpicking the decisions that the framework makes by default. You end up re-implementing loads of core logic because it doesn't work for your use case. And then in the end, you end up hitting all these performance issues because, again, it's making all these assumptions about what matters to you. And these things don't matter to you. Doubly not in a production app. And you end up rewriting these things. And worst of all, you quite often find out you can't rewrite them because the complexity of those things has got to a point that they're basically unreadable code-wise unless you are a maintainer. And you can't change them. You look at something like, oh, I'm just going to like, I found a bug in the ORM in Rails. Like, good luck with that. Like, one of the best Ruby developers I know, like the only time I think he ever touched core Rails was to do, I think it was something like a 2-line fix in the ORM. And I think by his account, it took him 2 days to work out what the shit was going on and then write like two lines of code and was like, does that work? I'm going to write like 100 fucking tests because I have no idea what this code does. And he spoke at a conference. He was a really good Ruby developer. And it was just like, what's going on here? And like the Cosmos SDK is that plus a blockchain. But hey, don't worry.
Sweet.
You know, don't worry because this isn't like Ruby on Rails where you're building an e-commerce site. We're not doing like financial stuff with this blockchain. So don't worry about it. Like it's not like it have real world consequences. Like, you know, your vape from an online store won't make it to your house. Like, yeah, I mean, that would be a disaster. Yeah. This is just a blockchain. Don't worry about it. Nothing can go wrong.
It's fine. It's all make believe shit.
There's no funds on here.
There's no, it's all make
no funds. Yeah. It's all just like whatever, man.
Whatever, man. Well, that's good news. Make me feel better about this. So I think which we've talked about before, the only real, the way to make real money in this ecosystem, launch a chain, launch a token.
Yeah. It was back in the day, for sure.
I think even today.
You reckon?
I think so.
I don't know. But you can't. You'd have to actually put in a bit of effort. Like, I don't think you can.
Oh, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm not saying
like Chihuahua.
No, I agree.
Chihuahua, like you could. Jesus, was Chihuahua 3 years ago?
No, I bet you could. I bet you could Chihuahua today.
Fuck off.
I bet you could.
No, you can't.
You think if Cerberus 2 launched today, or there's another, if there's another like another meme coin, you think it would be a totally dead,
total wash? Yeah, no, nobody's
needs to be worth
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I don't think so.
Coswiff.
I think there's plenty of dumb money out there.
I don't think there is. I think there's plenty of dumb money in this world, but I don't think it's in Cosmos.
Not from like a VC perspective, but from like
A retail perspective. Yeah, I know, but you do like that doesn't exist. Okay, number one, that doesn't exist in Cosmos. Number two, probably, you know, for the better in a lot of ways, but
yeah. All right, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think you could full send a meme coin like you could in 2020, whenever that was, 2021.
Rama's getting quoted a lot in this episode. Rama says, launch a cartel NFT collection. Inclusion has made close to $1 million in royalties for sloths. Get the fuck out of here.
Sloths were launched on Celestia?
Was it Celestia? Or Kujira?
It was Celestia. Yeah.
Celestia.
That's fucking madness.
And Davis says, more profitable than Sommelier. I mean, that bar.
I mean, that's true.
That's true. That's true.
What was Sommelier anyway?
In hindsight, right?
It was just a bridge, wasn't it, to Ethereum?
No,
not exactly. It's more like an aggregator of ways of.
Wasn't that creating pools between tokens outside the Cosmos and in Cosmos type of thing?
Yeah,
something like that.
Oh, so it was bridging tokens in and then making a derivative?
Ben Davis says, you guys are annoyingly inaccurate. Fucking hell, dude. It's 117 in. Like, are you fucking new here? Like, what the hell?
Ben, if you have something to say, every week, come join in here.
Ben Davis shocked every week at how annoyingly inaccurate we are. Yeah, no shit.
This podcast could be renamed to 3 to 4. Somewhat closeted, tired nerds try to work out what the fuck is on their screen at any given time. That is, what this podcast is.
This is a podcast of engineers and developers trying to figure out what the fuck you degens are doing. That's what this is about.
I mean,
and we
what are they doing half the time?
I know what we're doing. I just don't know what it's actually creating.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I just want to build tools and stuff. Like, I don't care what you fucking guys are doing.
Fucking.
Oh, I don't know what I want to do anymore. Dude, I feel like you two have got it a lot more sorted than me.
This quote is going on the homepage, which we haven't built yet, but eventually it'll happen. But yeah, it's going on there. That's amazing.
You know, I was boldly saying to an academic earlier today, they were talking about like making a website and how like much hassle it was going to be, how long it was going to take. And I was like, that's a morning's work. And then I remembered that the Game of Nerds website still doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
I was like, yeah, but it's still a morning's work. But yeah, there was this whole thing where it was just like, oh yeah, well if we did a website for this thing, it would have to be open source. And I was like, yeah, just stick it on GitHub. And they're like, whoa, GitHub's owned by Microsoft. And I was like, look, dude, I also have a problem with Microsoft, but I really have a problem with my time being wasted. So for a static website, I put it on GitHub, which I've had an account with for like 20 years. Or something ridiculous at this point, however fucking long it is. And it's like, and then I move on with my life. And whoosh, I'm like Kaiser Soze at the end of The Usual Suspects. It's just like water for duck's back, baby.
Your leg straightens out and you walk away.
Exactly. I'm just like, I'm not fucking doing anything more complicated than Git push origin GitHub pages. Man, that's my website. Done. Move on with my life. Anyway, turns out, I'm wrong. And what we really need is to have a fucking web server with Apache on it, hosting a bunch of HTML like we're degenerate since fucking 2002. Somebody else, like another student for some other thing, like again, a project web page, was deploying a whole Django app on like in the UC data center. I was like, a Django app for something that could be a static pile of literally Markdown getting templated.
Whoa, what the heck? You gotta future back down. I will use Django on anything. I need like a one little JSON response that says syncing. I'll slap the Django app on that bad boy.
That's right. That's right.
I do.
What are you doing with your life, Shorty? I thought you were smart.
It's because
I know
that's cool. It's just AWS Lambda, man.
After he sunsetted all those WordPress sites, he's like, dude, I'm in 100% Django.
That's right.
Hey, riddle me this, hotshot. How many executions before you get charged by AWS for your Lambda?
Ooh, I think it's 1,000.
1 million. Unless they've changed their TOS. 1 million, baby. So remind me again why we're using Django.
Django. Because it's fun. The Django ORM is so pleasant to work with.
What's an ORM?
You just completely missed
it. It's like the way to interact with the database.
Rails one.
Oh, okay.
The Rails one and the Django one are cut of the same devilish cloth.
If you got an admin page,
no, I haven't done the Rails. Broken.
Yeah, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Detest them both.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
So Zachy's saying, I mean, not a total shit show.
Oh, so to answer your question, usurper, an ORM is an object relational mapper, which is it's a way of, if you are an absolute object-oriented programming diehard, mapping your concepts onto a database table, even though, I mean, you kind of squint, and obviously they map, but, you know, whatever. Whatever, man.
You kind of squint.
Just whatever. I gave up a long time ago. I gave up on I had stickers printed that said object oriented code is a code smell. When I worked in an organization that primarily wrote object oriented code. So like, you know, I am as bad as Jacob. I am that guy. You know, I'm waiting to be proven right about bug, you know, 9 months later and just be like, yeah, I think the problem was actually that you closed over state in an object. I think that was actually the problem. It was that we didn't find product market fit. Yeah, no, it's probably that you used object oriented programming languages. I think that was probably the problem actually. Yeah. Don't tell me about the business side. It was probably that you used the wrong programming language. I'll be in the kitchen making a coffee for when you want to come and grovel, like about how like clever and shit I am. You know what? They never came and told me that it was the object-oriented programming language. So, you know, some people are very stubborn. You know, they just won't admit when they're wrong.
Every fucking POS conversation, eventually, when you get deep enough, you just end up going, oh, whatever.
Whatever. It's like, whatever, man.
Whatever, man.
Oh, dear.
So one piece of news we should talk about is I want to hear, we're not in this Val set, which I think is, I'm not sure if it's mainnet or not. It is mainnet, right? Is Henry at Penumbra. So what's going on? Like, I know there's some sort of airdrop or something like that. Is that right?
So first of all, there's no reason for you not to be in the mainnet because mainnet isn't selected. You get delegated into mainnet. So fix that for one.
I will. Well, I mean, yeah. All right. Well, I asked you like, it must've been a few months ago. I was like, is it time? You're like, no. It's like, it's not time yet. Like it's.
Well, they announced it like a week ago.
And no, I remember. But I remember it was like testing. I'm like, should I get involved? You're like, no, not yet. Which I could hear the pain in your eyes.
Well, yeah. So that was still the correct call because you don't get any delegation for being in testnet.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is people get airdrops and then you can provide them your Valiper address basically. And then they can delegate that airdrop to you. And the guys with like the top, let's say top 100 validators with delegations, mm-hmm. go into mainnet. That's how it works.
I gotcha. Okay. Cool. And that's all community?
Or VCs or whoever.
Oh, I gotcha.
So provide them to anyone that invested in Penumbra.
So I don't think we have any question around the technical capability or delivery or execution of that team, right? I don't think we have any question related to that. Like we know it's an extremely strong team. It's an extremely strong product, right? Like, is it going to work? And like, you know what I mean? Like, is the market ready? Is the market ready for it? And is it going to be successful? Or is it like one of those beautiful ivory towers of technology that people say, yeah, it totally solves these things, but it doesn't necessarily mean anybody uses it.
I think that there is I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I'm a huge fan of the Shade product, which is on Secret. the shade swap. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get a ton of usage. It gets a decent amount of usage. But the amount of usage it gets implies a certain amount of people that are actually interested in privacy and understand what it means.
Right.
And my fear is that that number isn't big enough for Penumbra's existence.
I mean, honestly, people talk about privacy, like in every aspect of things, right? They talk about the idea, but they give that shit away all the time.
Well, yeah. Right? And like Secret has viewing keys, right? So that you can actually view your product, your tokens.
Yeah.
As soon as I worked with the Secret support team for a while. And as soon as viewing keys like came into perspective for people, they were like, fuck this, can't do that extra one transaction to see my balances. You're like, well, then why are you, this is a privacy.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's a communication thing there, obviously, but.
Well, that's like, they don't want to give up that trade off, right?
Yeah. Like, well, it's like what people are using the chain for. They want number go up, hold Bitcoin. They're not worried about like their entire financial history being leaked on chain because this isn't their entire financial history. It's just some fucking shit coins. Like,
yeah.
You know. The irony, of course, being that, like, you know, we were using debit cards and credit cards and all the stuff that actually matters is going to Visa or MasterCard and your banking provider of choice. But, you know, whatever, man. You know.
It's not visible.
It's happening behind a closed door. And it's, you know, part of a degenerate cycle of a lot of different things that are eroding your personal rights, your financial rights, and your human rights. But it happens behind a closed door. And so people don't, it's back to like the, oh yeah, but does it really affect me? Does it really harm me? And it's like, yes, but I can't convince you of that.
Right. Cause it's difficult to prove.
Yeah. It's very, very difficult to prove how aggregate large scale violations of human rights are actually damaging your day to day life. Right. But then people look out the door and they're like, oh, make Britain great again. And oh, this country's gone to the dogs. Oh, what could it be? And it's like, well, maybe it's a fucking aggregate of all the things that you said. Oh, does that really affect me? It's like, yeah, they all fucking affect you because they're all about power getting redistributed and wealth getting redistributed to the same powerful group of people who are then going to use that negatively to impact you, your family, and your children. And then you're like, oh, it's probably some immigrants. And you're like, well, maybe you should fucking engage your brain first. Like maybe actually some people that are in a fucking rowboat across the channel or whatever, who can barely like bail the fucking water out of it, are not the reason for multi-generational grabs at power and wealth in your country that have left you without job security, without, you know, without meaningful real wage growth. And fuck, you know, man, I just, Jesus Christ. Like this was, this has been warming up all day. Cause I had to, there was money laundering earlier today. And I just got reminded again of how much like dirty Russian money. This was a conversation I was having in London, right? There is so much dirty Russian money and Saudi money and whatever in London, just money laundered in plain sight. And you were just like, dude, why are we even fucking talking about money laundering? I just got so despondent. I was like, why are we even fucking talking about money laundering? Why is this even a thing? And then like the academic, the person I was talking to was just like, no, exactly. It's madness, isn't it? But, you know, nevertheless, you know, we work in digital cash, so we need to spend a lot of time thinking about these things. And you're like, but we're, you know, we're bound to these design decisions. They're going to let people like have like £5,000 or whatever in digital cash or whatever, because otherwise, God, they might launder that money. And you're like, it's not £5,000 worth of money laundering you need to worry about. It's that house across the fucking street you need to worry about. That's £14 million, and I bet the owner's dodgy as fuck. Nobody has £14 million lying around that isn't up to no good. Like, fuck.
That was a fucking soapbox. I was looking for a video of like the queen saluting the flag or something. Like I needed something in there just to.
It's pretty good.
There's an old clip from an old British comedy show where it just goes, it'll be all right. It's okay. It's fine. It just has
That's not what I got out of that.
It just has the Union flag. It just has the Union flag fluttering in the background. And it has, Elgar's Enigma Variations, I think, playing in the background. So like a kind of stirring, gentle, pastoral piece of music. It's like, it's okay. It's fine. It's going to be all right. there's like this bit where a man's like walking down the street and he's got a cigarette and he's like, oh, I forgot my lighter. And then these little kids run up to him and they offer him a light. It's it's great. I'll put it in the show notes. Yay. It's all right. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's going to be fine. This is Britain and it's going to be fine. Yeah. Oh, anyway, Penumbra is great. Unfortunately, it's a fantastic piece of technology for an ecosystem that is dead. But I think the boilerplate of the approach they've taken on almost every technical decision that I've been able to see and like that my monkey brain can understand seems really sensible. And I think it might be one of those projects that's bigger than Cosmos. Like if it finds product market fit, it might not matter, but it feels to me like it's too late to miss. It's too late for the big initial app chain winter bull run. And it's too early for mass adoption of privacy tools in the space, but the approach they've taken is really good.
Yeah.
And the use case they're going for is really good too. And, very needed and hats off.
I hope it's great. Yeah. I hope it's successful.
Yeah.
And I hope it does. I hope it does bring the next X number of users in and
it will be X and X will be under.
I mean, that's the
1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do agree with your point around it being bigger than Cosmos. I totally agree with that.
Well, in the comments, Rama said, I think Penumbra could save Cosmos. And by save, I mean allow people to dump anonymously.
Maybe that's what we need. We need a validator-specific chain just to dump rewards without visibility. That's what it is.
I'm in.
Maybe that's the Game of Nodes. Maybe that's a Game of Nodes chain. Is this privacy chain that allows any val to be able to dump anonymously and or invest back in the chain without visibility.
Yeah, it's important. It's important. You might just be sending all of your rewards to Penumbra in order to reinvest.
To reinvest.
In a basket of tokens, maybe. Maybe the whole Cosmos will benefit. Maybe not.
Although, I haven't sold shit in forever. These fucking prices, man, what is going on? Although this last day was a little bit better, but geez, man.
I mean, you're watching product market fit in action.
Brutal, like, brutal, brutal.
Hey, look, you know, we've all got a basket of highly boutique, highly artisanal Cosmos coins.
In the secret.
Who was it saying and that our again, business is like a mom and pop business? And I was like, are these artisanal shit coins?
Even outside of Cosmos, it's all feeling it right now. But
yeah. I saw Aptos
694
as well, and was just like,
yeah, the hub's at 691. That's that seems like a 1 year low under $7.
I think Cosmos that's a low for a long time, more than
it
1 year.
It seems like a long time. Juno at 14 cents. Hey yo, Say at 36 cents. DYDX at $1.46. I think that is down 50% from when it launched on V4. So
what you're saying is it's time to warm up that McDonald's resume.
Ethereum at $3,500. Bitcoin's down to under 65,000. So it's down 5% this week. It's actually holding on. Ethereum actually at 3567. That's still down a bit, but whatever. All right, what else we got? Yeah, it's pretty brutal. I'm not sure what's I don't know. Is anything driving this at a large scale? I don't even know.
I think nothing's driving the arrow up. So
it's just a natural down. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think there is a natural
neutral down. Is minus 5% a week. Is that what it is?
But there's no tickling the timbers, so it's not going up. That's how it works.
Funky says the SEC news was positive on the price today. I think the SEC news that he's talking about is that the SEC, has officially ended investigation into Ethereum and will not pursue charges that Ethereum is a security. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that. So the SEC put out a letter last night, I think, after close, just saying, hey, we're not going after this now. But of course, I'm sure they say, I don't even read it, but I'm sure they say, hey, we could do this in the future. However, it's not exonerating it you're not exonerated for future, but at least, you know, at least for right now. So that's good news, I guess. But I guess what other choice do they have? There's not really anything surprising there. Huge dude. Huge news.
Huge news. The Certic one is wild, isn't it?
Yeah. So we were talking about, I think when you and I were last week, we were talking a lot about like security firms. So I'll put a link from a Twitter post from Certic. So Certic, C-E-R-T-I, capital K. Amazing. Branding. They found a bunch of vulnerabilities in a Kraken FX exchange.
Yeah.
And there is a timeline here. So it looks like they basically pilfered what, like a few $1 million.
Yeah.
Wait, from Kraken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the TLDR, right, is that you could fabricate a deposit where you say, I'm putting in $3 million. And their system just went, yeah, right. Okay, cool. And then you go, you know what? Actually, can I have that $3 million back? I'll have it in Ethereum, please. And they go, yeah, sure. Okay, here you go.
I don't know how, maybe is this an API related thing? I'm trying to figure out. They just look for deposits based off of deposit addresses. So I'm trying to figure out how you
the input. I don't know. I only read their post on Twitter. My impression was it was potentially an API that was for dollar deposits rather than for crypto. Like I think you faked a deposit with cash that then didn't pass through a confirmation process correctly, and the funds were then available for you to then just like withdraw into crypto.
Yeah,
that was my understanding anyway. I could be a little bit wrong on that, but if so, that is fucking mad.
So it could be like a fake token or something else that they kind of viewed as being matching something else.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it's just one of those things where there was just somebody somewhere had written a case statement in Python and the default match was just like, yeah, YOLO. It just had like a comment above it, YOLO, whatever. And it turns out the default case was you get exploited for $3 million.
Yeah, so I'll put a link in the show notes to this on the Twitter. They have a little timeline here. It's pretty funny, actually. So they found the issue on June 5th. They do a deposit test. They do a withdrawal test on the 5th. And they try to get in the 7th. And they come back on June 9th. And then they do a Twitter contact email findings of the report on the 10th. And the vendor, I guess vendor being Kraken, says that they're working on a fix. Then they look at the 12th and say, oh, shit, this is a huge vulnerability. And they fixed it. And they do a video conference on the 13th. And they do another one the 18th. And the last one here is June 18th. Kraken threatened a Certic individual employee and requested to return a mismatched amount of assets in 6 hours without providing repayment addresses. So then they start threatening him, like, give us his money back. So it looks like Certic pulled so they haven't done anything with that $3 million that they actually pulled, right? They just kind of held on to it.
I mean, that's a smart thing to do because, yeah, Kraken presumably have quite a lot of money stashed away to sue you into Armageddon.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, they should probably be more graceful about it, given that a lot of people will now be looking at Kraken being like, well.
Yeah. Irma says they sold it to USDT and moved it through Tornado Cash. Amazing. Amazing. Sweet.
So Certic did actually steal money from Kraken.
That is what is being stated, yeah.
Allegedly... Certic stole money from Kraken. That's not my opinion. The voices of people in the chat, possibly, or wherever, man.
Is this this used to be a Cosmos chain, right? Certic. Didn't Certic run their own? Didn't they run their own chain and like had their own token and all that stuff? Is that still around? Does that still exist?
I think technically it still exists. Yeah.
I don't know why do they have their own token? Get paid in a non-taxable type structure. Number two on the most secure structure here on the Certic website is Aptos. That's interesting.
What's Certic's qualification for doing security stuff?
We don't talk about those things.
Okay. Because they were like, I mean, obviously they've managed to exploit Kraken, so fair enough. Like they've clearly they've managed to find a security hole here, so like fair fucks. Yeah. Assuming they actually did white hat it, you know, which
yeah, that's like staking rewards. They're totally qualified to be able to judge validators and their security structures associated with that, even though their business is the exact opposite of that. It's totally fine.
But they, Yeah, who knows what they fucking did with their chain. Who knows, man? Like, the chain's obviously not that, maybe it wasn't profitable enough, so they pivoted into security like everybody does.
No, it was literally built around that. I thought they were trying to build something that was related to the bug bounty structure that they had a token to be able to do. So I thought it was like, it was all kind of like a strategy around that. It wasn't like, hey, we rotated or something like that.
Oh, so it was like Gitcoin, but for security bounties or something?
Yeah, sure.
Or like whatever?
Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that.
Cool. Well, you know, yeah, great.
You know, back, that bit. I can get the proof of stake, right? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's in The Social Network, you know that movie when he tries to go back and talk to his ex-girlfriend and she just fires back over her shoulder as he's retreating, like, oh yeah, good luck with your video game or whatever.
It's fine.
And you're like, yeah, relatable. That is the correct thing. Just good luck with your like proof of stake or whatever.
These Certix scores are pretty, these dashboards are pretty amazing. Audit coverage, GitHub monitoring, the fundamentals and category score, KYC status, the active user geography, the number of total. It says that there's in Cosmos Hub, it says there's 347 active users over 7 days with 778 total transactions. That seems a little bit wrong.
I mean, it's
pretty amazing.
High or low?
I don't know. Fucked.
I honestly don't even know at this point.
I don't even know. It seems incorrect, but.
Did you go check out that film Civil War on your Plex server?
I did. I did watch Civil War.
It's a good film,
It was a bit fucked. Yeah.
It's really fucked up, isn't it? It's not the film, the trailer.
It is fucked up.
It's kind of fucked
what
up.
Were we talking about it last week? Did we talk about it?
I didn't think we talked about it.
Was I talking to somebody else about it?
Yeah, no, I think I recommended it a few weeks ago, and then I didn't remember to follow it up. Didn't put it in the spreadsheet.
It's a bit close to home.
But, yeah. But that
they never talked about, like, why that actual – what was the reason – they never actually had any backstory on it. So it was just like, are you on the president's side, are you not on the president's side, or something like that? Like, there's no story around that, right?
Well, so the thing they said was that the president changed the Constitution to allow a third term.
Oh, okay. It had to be more than that because that seems like not enough, but okay.
That's what it was, and that was enough for Texas. So sure. Texas seceded from the Union, and then California was like, yeah, okay, we're into that.
Well, there was the Western, right, which was like California, Oregon, Washington or something like that, or a couple states.
Yeah. Texas.
Well, were those two together? Oh, yeah, and then California. There was another one. Florida was another one, right? There's some South type structure.
Yeah, I think Florida was just like
doing Florida, Georgia or something.
Yeah, yeah. All the retirees were like, leave us out of this or something like that.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? Yeah, it was a bit fucked. I thought, what's her name? The
Kirsten Dunst. The actress.
She was great.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was
very serious was really turn. Good. Very good.
Yeah, like, she was awesome in that. I thought it was actually quite good.
So I think, you know that final sequence where it's like all Steadicam following them? I think that I think that is the modern equivalent of like Saving Private Ryan opening for me. Like, I was like, that is one of the most intense action sequences. Like, the stakes feel so high as they're going room to room. You're like, Jesus fucking.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. When they're going into the White House and everything. Yes.
That whole sequence was completely edge of my seat. Yeah. I was like, this is insane. This is fucking madness. And like the way that it's so confused, it's like kind of got that weird, like where it's super confused, but they're also like all of the actors have obviously been, they must have really good advisors on it, whatever. They're all super calmly talking to each other and like chatting the whole time and keeping like the flow going and stuff. But you're just like, what the fuck? This is chaos. This is bedlam. But they're just moving so purposefully around the camera. Like the whole way it was shot, like
it was pretty good. Yeah, is that what we're talking? Oh, that's why you brought it up, right? Is that steady shot?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's almost like a Spielberg one, or isn't it? I mean, I know there are a couple of cuts in it, but there aren't many cuts in that section. And it like you got to love a lot like long single shots. They're fucking great. Like, it's a good film overall, and there's some great moments in it and stuff, but that ending sequence, I didn't expect that to be the end of the film. And like, I don't want to say the payoff, but like, I didn't expect like a big, because the whole film was like build, like the, you know, like all the trailers and stuff are like, oh, it's a big balls action film. And then when you actually watch it and it's not that, I was like, okay, fine. That's cool. This is a really, really good film. I'm really enjoying it. But I didn't expect there to be like an actual action scene in it, because I didn't think it was that kind of film. Like from the first hour, I was like, okay, this is not that film. That's cool. And then when they just go like, oh, by the way, but here is an action scene. By the way, just so you know that we can make a really good one. We're going to do like a really, really good one for you. Just because we know you came to the cinema, you maybe wanted some explosions or something, like whatever, man. It's great.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, whatever, man.
I can't find the name of that. What was the name of the dude? There's that guy who in that movie where they're at the pit and he's the main dude at the pit with Jesse the red. Plemons. Is that who that is? Is that Jesse Plemons?
Yeah.
Fucking hell,
with the pink sunglasses.
Yeah. Because he was in Breaking Bad, right? Fucking hell, that was a good character.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, I hated that fucking guy.
Did you watch that film Jesus and the Black Messiah? Jesus and the Black Messiah. The one with Keith Stanfield.
I don't know, actually. I might have.
The one where Daniel Kaluuya won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar, I think, for it.
Mm.
But Jesse Plemons plays an FBI agent in that. And I mean, all of the supporting actors in that film are amazing. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, honestly, yeah, like even like that, those two roles are actually pretty similar in some areas, but yeah. Like he plays pretty powerful roles in those situations. Like it was fucked.
Yeah, it was
it
was a good film.
It was a good film. Yeah, football.
It is the Euros at the moment, so there's a lot of people unironically going around going football, and I'm like, and then
right.
And people that don't know me particularly well are like, oh, you must be really stoked because Euros. And I'm like, I actually don't like football.
Oh, Jesse's in Killers of the Flower Moon. That's on my list to watch too.
That's on my list to watch as well.
I haven't watched that. Yeah.
Oh, maybe we can all watch it and give our Game of Nodes verdict. That's what the Game of Nodes website should be. We should have like a Rotten Tomatoes, fresh or rotten, but like Game of Nodes approved.
Juno?
Juno?
Big Smash Tomato.
Civil War.
man.
Civil War is just a dramatic retelling of Prop 16. It's like Wolf Contract at the end. I need a quote. I need a quote, man. That'll do.
Shit.
Shit.
God damn it. Who's hold up in that building then?
Wolf Contract, gotta be.
Is it Wolf Contract hold up?
Or is it Takumi? I don't even know.
Oh, it might be Takumi. Yeah, good question. Takumi.
It's like busted him out.
Oh man.
Yeah. That is the distant past. Fuck. Yeah. Whatever.
For sake.
So Schulz is just working. He's just been working the entire podcast.
I know. I'm sorry. I probably should be doing better, but I'm not.